Any man can be a father, but what does it mean to be a dad?
How to come home after a stressful day at work and be the ultimate dad.
How you can earn an awesome trophy like this.
How the relationship with your spouse is the foundation for your family.
How to ask better questions and get better answers from your kids. Coming up on the Alpha Dad Show. Andrew, are you excited about this one?
Dude, I am stoked. I am so excited. I've been watching interviews and preparing, and I'm so excited to talk to this guy here.
Well, today we have a husband, a proud father of two adult sons. Excited to hear about all that. He is a Marine Corps veteran, because there's no such thing as a former Marine. There's only Marines and then Marine vets. Championship basketball coach, 20 years of coaching. He's now retired, and now he's coaching a different thing. He's coaching dads, and I tell you what, that is one area we could definitely partner with him on as Alpha Dads. Would love to hear more from the amazing Brian Ward.
Yeah.
Welcome, Brian.
Brian.
Thank you. I'm glad this is recorded, so now I can play that for my wife and show her just how great I am.
Well, there you go.
It's important. You know, a lot of people they leave the applause to chance, and we just take that out of the equation. I'm like, hey, you got to start every day with an applause. It's important.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right.
It's
funny. We were talking before we started recording, I ran a marathon yesterday, but one of the funny things about the marathon was obviously people hold up really silly signs, you know, to kind of cheer you on. Really silly. But one of the things that I heard that I never had heard before, and I've ran four marathons now and a dozen half marathons and all that. But one of the things I heard yesterday was there was a police officer. He was blocking the intersection of a road so runners could go by. Right. Uh-huh. And as runners are kind of going by, he's clapping at him, telling him good job. But when you get past his car, you didn't hear it until you got past his car. But he had a sound system or a speaker set up of people cheering when you got past his car, which was totally cool. I'd never heard that before. And I'm like, oh, that was kind of cool. I was looking around for people cheering, and I'm like, oh no, that's coming from his car.
He used technology. He's, you know, working smarter rather than harder. He didn't wear out his hands. Right. Just use the technology that's available to you.
So your cheering segment there reminded me of that.
I love that.
There you go. Well, Brian, you know, you've been on a lot of podcasts. You have a podcast, but you've been on a lot of great podcasts. And on one of the podcasts that you were on, you said something that it really spoke to me, and I really enjoyed hearing you talk about this. But you had said that marriage is the foundation of the family. And so it seems like you've got really, really good communication with your wife, and you guys have a good schedule that you've figured out. You were talking about how you guys sit down and you plan out when you do your podcast, so that way it doesn't affect family time, because that's the most important thing at the end of the day. So can you kind of speak on what your relationship is with your wife, like the communication you guys have, and how it's become the foundation of your family?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you bringing that up. My wife is by far one of my best friends, and she and I have always had pretty good communication. She's been better at it than I have. I'm obviously a guy and don't like to, share my feelings and all that kind of stuff. So I had to learn that over time. So in the beginning, maybe there was some stuff that we went through, not bad stuff, just as far as our communication goes, that wasn't the best. But I had to learn, not her, I had to learn how to fix that. And my wife and I, it's interesting. We have been very involved in our boys' lives, their entire lives. I've coached every single one of their teams that they played on in sports. And she's always been like a team mom. She's always been involved. She was a teacher at their school, my niece's and nephew's school. So we had nine kids from the family that went to the school that she was one of their teachers at the school for, all the way up through eighth grade. We've always been involved in our boys' lives. But when it comes to the two of us, we realized very early on that in order for us to be involved in our boys' lives and have a healthy relationship, we need to make our family the foundation of our life. And our family encompasses my wife and I's relationship. Mm. So that's where I'm talking about when it comes to foundation. if there's a crack in a foundation of a building, it can do detrimental damage to the building and the surrounding areas outside the building, right?
Yep.
But in a home, if you have a crack in your foundation of your family structure, mm-hmm. Family world, right? Your family environment, the home encompasses mm-hmm. your family. If you have a crack in that foundation, that can impact not only you mentally, your spouse mentally, you both physically. It can impact your kids in a negative way. It can not only do that, but it can impact things outside of the home. Mm-hmm. Whether it's your business, your work relationships, if you work in corporate America, your job, right? It can cause issues there too. So
yep.
The family foundation has to be solid. And there has to be no cracks. And if there's a crack, it needs to get fixed as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yep.
And part of that involves communication. And my wife and I have been really good about working on our level of communication. We have a marriage coach that we've been seeing now for 5 years. And we see her we were seeing her every month, but we kind of cut back a little bit. We're seeing her about every other month now. But she's a licensed marriage therapist, but she's our marriage coach.
Yeah.
And we have a really good relationship, and we don't go to her because we have problems. We go to her so we don't have problems.
My dad talked about that a lot growing up. He said it's funny because people, you know, like my parents, when they were early marriage, they didn't see a lot of marriages growing up that were successful. My dad's the youngest of six, and there's 13 marriages amongst his siblings. And then my dad, he's like, man, we got to seek this out. We got to find some healthy marriages. And they started going to all these conferences, and they started attending marriage workshops and as many things as they could possibly get in. But at least once per year, they'd go away and attend something. And he says, it's so funny. In the normal world, it's normal for a husband to come and be like, a man to come and be like, hey, I'm working on my golf game. I got this golf coach, or, you know, hey, I got this business coach, or I got this coach over here. I got this guy over here.
Yeah.
But when it comes to their marriage, if someone's like, hey, I was at this marriage workshop this weekend, they're like, ooh, who cheated on who? You know, where's the breakdown? But to actually have somebody that shows intentionality, I love that.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, it's something that we really thoroughly enjoy. It's funny. You're talking about conferences. We went to a marriage conference just, I want to say it was about 3 weeks ago at our church. My wife had come across her. She got an email from the church about it. She signed us up, not asking me. She just signed us up because she knows that we both enjoy those kinds of things. And not only that, it was kind of a date night for us. We got to go to the church and hang out and listen to a couple of speakers and all that. And then just last week, our marriage coach emailed me and said, hey, I'm holding a conference, a marriage conference one day. It's going to be all day, but I want you and your wife to be there. She specifically reached out to us and asked us to be there. So of course I'm like, yeah, so where do we sign up? We'll be there to support you. We'll be there to do whatever we need to do. But
love it.
We do a lot of activities together. My wife and I, she is legally blind.
Oh, wow.
She lost her eyesight several years back due to diabetic retinopathy. She's a type 1 diabetic, and she can legally see out of one eye, but her other eye is completely black. She can't see anything. So technically she could legally drive, but she doesn't because it's unsafe. However, I've always been the commuter for our boys, and especially when my wife lost her eyesight, I turned into the full-time commuter for the boys and her. You know, when we have to run errands and stuff, it's not just, you know, back when boys were younger, she would just run off to the store, or she would just run off to go shopping or whatnot. Now I do that stuff with her, but here's the thing. It's not because I have to, because I really don't. I could be a jerk and just say, yeah, no, I'm not doing that today.
Yeah.
But I get to spend that time with her.
Yeah.
And that's our time to just kind of hang out, even though we're running errands, right?
Yep.
I'll bring up another example of something that we do. And this is just to help, you know, couples out there really. I love that. She's been running a lot, and they're talking that's about awesome. My son. That's my younger son that just graduated college. And they were both at my marathon yesterday supporting me. And my son says, hey, yeah, I know you're running Long Beach Marathon in October. Do you think I'd be able to train enough to be ready for the half marathon in October? And I said, oh, absolutely. That's a walk in the park. You could do that. He's like, all right, I might do that. So we'll see if he does. I might come hold on, him to it.
On. Is that
and that goes right there?
Is that Blake or
that's Brett?
That's Brett. Okay. That's we got to hold him to it. Hey, Alpha it, Dad's out there. Got to hold Brett to it. Got to get the half marathon in October. Let's go.
Okay. Now I got to brag a little bit. Look at my face. Okay.
Okay.
Now look at my face here.
Yeah.
This current face is 60 pounds lighter than that guy right there.
Wow. Come on. Yeah. Hey, let's another applause. Go. One more applause. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So anyways, my wife and I, we do things, activities together in the evening time. Like we have a marriage book that we've read out of. We used to do, I bought two copies of a marriage book. She would read a chapter. I would read the same chapter. We'd just sit down quietly at the dining room table, no distractions. We would just read our chapter and then we would close the book after the chapter and talk about it and discuss it.
We've done
games together. I mean, just different things like that, just to make sure that we're being connected as parents. It's important for us to understand as parents, we dedicate so much time to our kids when they're growing up that we lose focus on each other. And did you know that the majority of divorces happen after the kids are grown and gone?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's the number one, I think is 7. The number two is at 27 because that's when the kids are out of the house.
When they meet, they come back together. They meet each other
again.
Here's
why. Exactly. They're meeting each other again. They're like, oh wait, I have this other person that I live with that I barely talked to because I was so busy with the kids and she was so busy with the kids. And now we have nothing in common and now we can't communicate well. My wife and I recognized that long before our boys were grown and gone. And that's why we worked on it ever since. So I know that's a long-winded way of me addressing what you were asking. But
It's great.
It's important. My dad talked to me all the time about that. He said, you know, there's a couple phrases he had for me growing up. One is that eventually you guys are going to move out, but your mom isn't. And so I'm going to make sure that happens. We're going to go on a date every week. I'm going to make sure that stays tight. You know, he always said the best time to buy your wife flowers is before somebody else does. You know, it's these preemptive strikes, you know, before somebody else can work their way in. One of my favorite phrases, I think taglines are important. They encompass a lot of things. And one of the taglines on your site here, which is dadup.tribe.com. Go to dadup.tribe.com to follow Brian. Great stuff on there. You can get the podcast. You can check out, you can get into the loop of the Brian world. But at the bottom, it says, any man can be a father. It takes someone special to be a dad. When I was in Mexico, I went in high school, my family and I moved to Mexico. We worked in children's homes for a couple of years. It was a really great experience for me. It was a great time, I think, to get removed. We were in Williamson County out of Nashville, Tennessee at the time, and very wealthy county. A lot of my friends had really nice cars. A lot of them had Mercedes and, you know, the brand new Jeeps and like really, really, really nice cars for 16, 17, 18 year olds. My parents were like, you need to see a different side of the world. And we went to Mexico and moved to these children's homes. And I saw a lot of kids that had fathers, but very few dads. And I think one of the biggest issues in our world is a lot of fathers and not enough dads. Talk to a little bit about that. Like, what is it? You know, the name of your show is Dad Up, and your tagline says it's important to be a dad. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to be a dad versus a father?
Yeah, you know, a dad is someone that can relate and connect with their kids regardless of their age. A dad is someone that is attentive. A father is someone that is just the biological father of the kids. He's the one that you know, helped them be born, right?
Yep,
but a stepdad, what I like to call a bonus dad, a stepdad can be a dad even though he's not biologically related to the child. My next door neighbor is a good example. I've had him on my show because he's such a good example of that. But he is a phenomenal dad, and he's never had a kid. His daughter, who he calls his daughter, he raised her since she was like maybe 4 or 5, something like that. And now she's 16, 17 years old. And he has been just so involved in her life. It's been remarkable to watch. They've been our neighbors that long. But what it means to be a father as opposed to what it means to be a dad, there's those differences in that. The way that we connect with our kids, like I said, the way that we're being attentive to our kids. There's a lot of guys out there that say, yes, these are my kids, but they don't know anything about them. There's a lot of dads out there that you could go, hey, how many kids you have? I got 2. What are their ages? Oh, they're, you know, my boys are 25, 22. Oh, okay. So you were involved in their lives growing up? Yeah. Oh, what elementary school did they go to? That's a good question. Who's their favorite teacher? What was their favorite subject in school? Who was their best friend growing up? You know, those are little silly examples, but I share that with you because there's a lot of dads that don't know. Now, listen, dads, this is not a knock on you. Maybe you have this level of work environment that just brings you away from your family life much more than you really want to. Well, you need to fix that too. I've done it and I know it's possible. And that's the purpose of my show is I want to show other dads out there, hey, you can be successful in whatever endeavors you're taking on, whether it's your business, whether it's a podcast, whether it's you're a writer, a speaker, a world traveler, whatever the case may be, but you can also be a successful dad.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's what it means. I have to be that successful dad for my kids. Listen, my kids are on loan to me. They were loaned to me by my Heavenly Father. And my job is to take care of them and raise them, not for me, for Him. I know this isn't a super religious show, but I'm telling you, one day I'm going to go back to my Heavenly Father and He's going to ask me if I did what He wanted me to do with those boys. And I want to prove it to Him. I want to be able to lay on my bed before I go meet my Heavenly Father and have absolutely zero regrets, period.
Come on.
That's right. That. Yeah. And you know, that's being a good steward. You know, God calls us to be good stewards of what He's given us. It's not just money. You know, that doesn't mean just, you know, invest your money well. Like that's everything in your life. And if He's given you children, then that's what He means. He means to steward them well, like do what He's called you to do with your children. And I think a lot of people, like you had mentioned, you can be successful in your career and you can be successful in your life, but still have a really good relationship with your kids. But I think a lot of people struggle with that and like very specifically on the drive home from work. So they've had a very, like very stressful day, a very long day. Maybe they got to the office really early and they've had a really long day at work and then they drive home and then they keep that stress. They don't utilize that time to remove that stress and to realize that they're about to go home and spend time with their family and make an impression on their children. And so, again, on a podcast, you had talked about this and it was really, really good. But when you come home, even if you take an extra 5 minutes to drive around the neighborhood, is what you were talking about. Just take an extra 5 minutes, drive around the neighborhood and kind of blow off a little bit of that steam and prepare yourself mentally, physically, and remove the distractions, turn off your phone, you know, like, don't come home and then instantly hang out on your phone, sit on your phone and ignore your family. Spend an extra 5 minutes, do whatever you need to do, and then come home and be 100% mentally present. So can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I've heard you talk about this before and it was really powerful, but can you expound on that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I coach when I'm working with some of the dads that I coach, it's one of the things that I address with them. Every single dad that I coach, I go through that with them, that process, because it's important. We need to decompress. And one of the areas, one of the ways that I decompress, taking care of my mental health and my physical health, is working out. I like to go for runs, right? That's my decompression.
Right.
Like when I'm stressed, if I'm having a hard day or I'm just not in a right mindset, my wife will even tell me, you need to go for a run.
You need, she hands you the shoes. Here you go. Get out.
Yeah, you need to get some of that. You need to decompress a little bit. So we all go through that. I understand there's challenges. Listen, we are human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have these bad days. And what you don't understand, though, dads, I'm talking to you specifically. When you had a bad day at the office or you had a bad day in your business or whatever, and now you're coming home, you have no idea what kind of day your wife had or what kind of day your kids had. So now if they've had bad days and they're looking for comfort from you and you come in the door hot and not in a good, look at it mixes. It's not going to go well, right? You're going to clash. You're going to cause more issues. That's why it's super important to flip that switch. I know it's hard. It takes practice, but everybody can do it. It's a flip of a switch. You need to be mentally prepared to walk into your house ready to engage with your wife and your kids in a loving way, not in an aggressive way, not in a way that just really doesn't do well for the family. It can cause the cracks in the foundation. If your kids know that they cannot come to you when you come home from work because dad's in a bad mood, that's a crack in the foundation. And guess what? They're going to resort as they get older to other things, whether it's drugs, alcohol, the opposite sex, other adults. that maybe lead them or guide them in the wrong direction. So you cannot have that. You cannot afford, I should say, that crack in that foundation.
It's huge.
And so that's why it's important. I talk about driving around the block, going for an extra drive, maybe even 10 minutes if you have to just kind of decompress. The other thing I talk about is I don't want when my dads leave their work to go home and they've had a hard day, I don't want them listening to talk radio. I don't want them listening to a book on audio. I want them putting on music that they enjoy, that inspires them, that kind of gets that good feeling out of them. Like, man, I like this song, you know, this is a great song. And then they just, and crank it up, have some fun with that music to kind of help yourself decompress. So that's the other thing I encourage my dads to do. And listen, when you close that car door and you're about to walk in that door, if you have to say a quick prayer, say, Lord, you know, I've had a rough day. Please don't allow me to bring this into my family. It's not fair to them. They didn't ask for it. So please allow me to walk into this house and be fully engaged as you would like me to be.
I love that partnership with God. I think that's huge. I think that's super important. You were talking about cracks in the foundation earlier, and specifically the foundation is your spouse. But I've always heard my entire life that like there's not really marriage issues. There's single people issues that they bring together. You know, there's anger that you bring into the marriage. That's your anger that you brought into the marriage. There's single person issues. And you're talking about, you know, driving home and having that that time to decompress out of that personal issue and not bring that into your home, because then that's what you're bringing. That's the crack in the foundation. It's a personal issue that you brought into the home. And I think a lot of guys, they you know, the kind of the famous like bad dad thing is like you come home, you kick the dog, you know, like that's there's not a lot of moments like that you need to be prepared for, but one of them is coming home. You need to have a plan for like, how do I get rid of this? How do I, you know, become another person before I walk into the house? How do I become fully myself? How do I loose the day out and bind, you know, the Holy Spirit to me before I walk into my home? I think those are very important things to like take a second and to reset on. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it takes practice, it takes work. But if you're committed to being a husband and you're committed to being a dad, This is even for moms. If you're committed to being a mom and a wife, you have to be committed to that. And if you have a bad day, listen, we all have bad days, right? Well, I'm sure Colton and Andrew have had bad days.
Once, but only you once.
You need to be able to come home and not bring that on your family. And you know what? Your wife's supposed to be your biggest supporter, right? So if I've had a bad day, I might come to her and say, when I got home, I might come to her and go, hey, do you have time? I always ask her permission. Do you have time where you and I can chat later?
Yeah.
And she's she'll usually ask me, is everything okay? And I go, yeah, everything's fine. I just need to tell you about my day. I just need to get it off my mind.
That's good.
And she's your sounding board. That's what I, you know, my boy's 22 years old. He just got home from college and I still walk in the door. And if he's home, not out with his girlfriend, if he's home, I still walk in the door and say, hey, bud, how was your day?
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
What did you do? What did you do? I asked him, what did you do today? What activities, what did you do? I know today he went golfing and he got his very first, because he's a big golfer. Both my boys are big golfers. He got his very first hole in one today. He was very excited.
No way.
That's awesome.
He shared the video with us and he
that's huge. Yeah,
he was pretty, it is pretty exciting. I've never had a hole in one myself and he has. So
yeah, there's a lot of guys that golf their entire lives and don't get a hole in one. That's a huge deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I ask my boys how they're doing if they're home, and I always greet my wife, usually with a kiss and a hug. That's how I always greet her when I walk in the door. And then the next thing I do, I go to my dog.
Yeah.
That's good. Greet my dog because he's in there for
you.
You don't
kick him, you hug him. That's important.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, I do. I literally do.
I think I can't remember if it was a book or a pastor or where I heard this from at one point, but it's something I've really incorporated into my own parenting philosophy. It's that being a dad is spelled T-I-M-E. And you spending that time with your kids and taking that time to invest. And I think a lot of guys, they kind of hold out like, man, I really missed the ball here. I really missed the ball there. But hey, I'm gonna make up for it this weekend. I'm gonna make up for it. They kind of live in the state of I'm gonna make up for it. Talk about you know that. I think dad up is almost a command in and of itself. Like it sounds like a command. Like hey, dad up. Like it's like, you know, hey, step up. Right. You know, be good dad. Mm. What does that look like to spend time with your kids at the different stages? You know, you're talking about like Andrew and I both have young kids. Andrew just had a new kid a couple weeks ago. I have had I got a 2-month-old at home. I got, you know, lots of little kids around here, but there's different stages, right? So like as my little kids, it's like, you know, playing Legos, but as they get older, investing that time with them, talk about spending that time with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to time, it's one of the things that I like to talk about on my show when I'm coaching dads or even when I'm on other shows is that kids spell love, T-I-M-E. That's how kids spell love. And so that love that you provide to your kids is so important. And when you provide that time to them, that's showing them that they're important and that's showing them that you love them. How do you do it through the stages of their lives? And let me tell you something. When their kids get to be teenagers, my boys went through it. When our kids get to be teenagers, here's what they're trying to discover. They're trying to discover, number one, who they are. Number two, what am I? Meaning, what kind of person am I, right? Number three, they're trying to discover their independence. They're trying to discover that, yes, they are grown up enough to handle themselves. And they like to consider themselves little adults when they're teenagers, right? Mm. So the last thing they want to do is hang out with mom and dad. When my boys were growing up, we did sports. That's, you know, obviously I coached, so they couldn't get rid of me. I coached, right?
You were there.
I had to be there, right? So I was there. But when my boys were little, we watched football together. My boys were into NASCAR. We watched NASCAR races every weekend. Like they knew all the drivers. We went to Home Depot. They would always want to go with me. When they got to be teenagers, that all changed. Yep. They were discovering different interests to them. Yep. So what I had to do is not say, hey, Blake, hey, Brett, when they're little and say, hey, you want to go to Home Depot with me? I got to pick up this. I got to pick up this. We'll look at this. And they'll go, oh yeah, dad, I want to go. Mm-hmm. When they hit teenager years, I said, what do you want to do?
It's good.
And you feed into their interest. And I had a dad approach me once during the pandemic. It was right towards the beginning of the pandemic. And the schools were shut down, all that kind of stuff. At least they were here. The schools were shut down. And one of the dads said to me, he said, Brian, I'm having a really hard time getting my son off the video games and spending time with the family because he can't go outside. He can't go to his friends. So he's kind of stuck in the house. We all get that. We're all stuck in the house. So now he's just wanting to spend time on video games and he won't come out of his room. He won't hang out with me. He won't hang out with his brothers or sisters, whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And I said, you want to know how to spend time with him? And he's like, yes, I want him to spend time with me. Okay. Well, you spend time with him.
Yeah.
So you sit down with him and play video games. Guess what? You may not like video games. You may not know the game that he's playing, but ask him to teach you. And when you ask him to teach you and you're actually showing an interest in what he's doing, I promise you he will work with you and he will love it. He will enjoy it. That's bonding time. That is time spent with your kid, right? Huge. Yes. We don't want them on video games all the time, but they're stuck in the home during the pandemic. They couldn't go anywhere. So why would you punish him for that? That's not his fault. If he wants to play video games, go play it with him.
Yep.
You can set up boundaries. Of course you can set up boundaries, but play it with him. Mm-hmm. That's the engagement. That's the time spent. So that's the teenage years, right? The adult years, that's a whole nother chapter because the adult years, I like to consider those the cool years because now we get to do kind of adult stuff, right? I don't drink. I'm not a drinker. I had a drinking problem when I was in the Marine Corps. And when I got out, started having kids, there's a whole story behind that. But so I've been completely 100% sober for almost 15 years now.
That's awesome.
But my boys, they're 20-year-old boys, right? They like to go out to the bars and have beers and hang out with their buddies and all that kind of stuff. Great. I can go to the bars with them. Mm-hmm. I can go do stuff with them. I just don't drink, right? I do zero alcohol stuff and hang out with them.
Scotch and water,
hold the scotch. We go golfing together. Right. We do golfing together. We'll go golfing together. We're going to Top Golf this weekend together. I mean, there's activities that we get to do as an adult. And now here's the cool thing. I don't have to tell them what to do. I don't have to tell them what to do and expect them to follow. I get to provide them guidance and they choose their path. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come to me for guidance. They have a question about something and I can provide it to them and they don't have to take my advice. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But they're going to accept whatever it is, right? That comes their way from the choices that they make. But as adults, they're two of my best friends.
That's so huge. My dad always told me, he said, I'm not raising the son, I'm raising the future best friend. He's like, a lot, exactly. a, a lot of dads come at it with this philosophy of like, I only have 18 years with you. And I want to get the most out of them. I'm like, man, I don't know. I think you should have 70 years, 80 years together. Like that's, yeah. that's the goal there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is super, super cool when your kids, and here's the thing, dads, if you didn't build that bonding relationship with your kids when they were growing up, when they were younger and they're learning how to play Legos, I'm a big Lego player, dude. I got Legos right here. I
mean,
look at that. You got it.
So I'm a big Lego guy, but you're not playing Legos with them when they're younger. You're not hanging out with them as much as you can when they're teenagers and you don't build that bonding relationship. Guess what? When they're adults and they decide it's time to fly the nest and they move out of the house, guess who they're going to forget about?
Yep.
Dad. They're going to be so busy in their adult lives, they're not going to have a relationship with you, and that's going to crush you. I promise.
Yeah.
That's great. It's something you said a little bit earlier about when, every time you come home, you ask your kids, like, what'd you do today? You know, and I love that question. And for some reason, I've always asked my son that question. He's about 2.5 years old now. And it's funny to watch the evolution of the answer to that question as he gets older. So when I first started, he was really young, and it kind of started as a funny thing because I had asked him what he did that day. And he all he did was list off all the sugary foods that my wife fed him that day. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? And I'm like, what are you doing? What is this guy? You know? And so the next day I asked him, cause I was wanting to see if he would, you know, did he eat a bunch of sugary sweets today? Or, you know, it's just kind of a joke, but then it became this thing where every day I asked him, I'm like, hey, what'd you do today? And it's really fun and interesting to see how that's changed. First it was, you know, the sweets. And then it was, I played with, this person, Joan, this person who watches him occasionally. He'll say, I played with this person, and that was like it. And then over time, it would evolve and evolve until now. Today, I came home and I asked him, I was like, what'd you do today? He said, well, grandpa came over and he helped move some heavy stuff, and it was really nice. And it was just all of this really fun, good information. And it's kind of like a good place to start when you get home is, hey, what'd you do today? You know, we talk about what he did today. We talk about what I did today. We build a little bond really over a simple question. And I love that it's just a fun way to connect with your kids as soon as you get home after you've already connected with your wife. But I know there's a lot of dads out there who are looking for, you know, just great ways to connect. And you've mentioned some great ways here. Another way that you've mentioned connecting with your children is not just asking an A or B question when you want an answer, right? So it's not just like, you know, for me, the salesman and me, you know, do you want your broccoli or do you want the carrots? Which one do you want? You know, or do you want to do this or do you want to do this? And it's really easy to go A or B to get the answer or the outcome you want. But a lot of times, and you had a really good point here, a lot of times it's good to ask open-ended questions where you can kind of get their thoughts. Can you expand on that a little bit more? Like, how important is it to ask your kids and communicate with them and ask them those open-ended questions and see what's going on inside of their little brain up there, especially when they're younger?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to be a good communicator in anything that you do, whether it's in your business, whether it's with your wife, your relationships outside of the home, your relationship with your wife in the home, whatever the case may be, you want to be a good communicator. You got to ask open-ended questions. That's what you, I mean, that's the one of the fundamentals. That's like school 101, you know, class 101 of sales, right? Of business is asking open-ended questions. And you brought up a good point, Andrew, where you're asking them to choose a choice and not giving them an opportunity to say, I don't want any of those. You get this and you get this. Which one do you want?
Yeah.
Well, with your kids, I ask my son, how was your day? Good. Now, if you stop there, that's all you're going to get.
What did you do?
Yep.
Good. It wasn't great. It wasn't outstanding. It wasn't fantastic. Yeah. It wasn't poor. It was just good. So if you come in, one of my buddies is a good coaching buddy of mine that's a really good friend of mine. He does that with his boys. Like he would say, hey, how was your day? It was good. And then it was like, okay, I'd have to pull teeth to get them to talk, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, if by asking the open-ended question, so I always ask my boy, how was your day? Good. What'd you do today?
Right.
What was good about it? Right? Get them to engage a little bit, get them to talk a little bit and listen. You can even share your day with them. You know what?
Yeah.
Dude, that sounds like an awesome day. Sounds like you had a great day. I got to tell you something that happened with me today. And then share something with them. That piques their interest a little bit. Like, oh, dad's actually communicating with dad's actually wanting to have a conversation. Okay. Yeah. Now we're bonding, right? It's another level of bonding. So asking open-ended questions is super important. If you ask closed-ended questions, expect to get pretty much nothing back.
closed answers. Yeah.
And you're not going to build that communication level with your kids that you're going to need later in life when they have an issue that comes up and they need to come and talk to you and you didn't build that communication with them. They're not going to want to come and talk to you. They're going to be like, well, dad doesn't pay attention to me. Or dad doesn't answer me. He doesn't give me his advice. He doesn't tell me what I need to do in situations. So why would I go to him now?
It's huge. One thing my parents instituted when we were little kids is they created a high, low, and thankful every night at dinner. So we'd have dinner and then we'd go, you know, they'd go around the table and they'd be like, what was your high of the day? What was your favorite thing that happened today? And then what was your least favorite thing that happened today? And then what are you thankful for today? And that always just spurred on good conversations. It's not that that's the end. It's not that they just gave quick answers, but it's usually that kind of expounded. And then you're like, oh, tell me more about that. Like what do you mean by Jason hit the ball really hard? What did that look like? And you kind of get to go into those little rabbit holes, but it kind of gave us some, almost like bumpers when you go bowling, kind of gave you some structure to that you got to go into those little questions and feel known inside of your house and feel known by your dad and get to share your day and get to share your life. And then they'd share it as well. And we'd be like, it was a really good family bonding, but high, low, and thankful we did that every night. I mean, we probably only missed 10 or 12 nights my entire childhood of that. Like high, low,
thankful.
That was a very consistent thing in our house for sure.
That's awesome. Cool. Love it. Really cool. Well, Brian, it's been such a fun time. You've had so many great nuggets of wisdom here. So we really appreciate you coming on here. Hopefully we might be able to have you on again. There's just been so many great, great nuggets of wisdom here. So everyone go check up daduptribe.com and check out the Dad Up podcast. They can follow you on social media. I know you've got an Instagram, you got the podcast, you've got a ton of socials out there. Everyone should absolutely go follow you and get some more great wisdom from you. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Greatly appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh man, thank you guys for having me. I was looking forward to this. I appreciate what you guys are doing and appreciate the work that you guys put into behind the show and the message you guys are spreading. It's just awesome. And the more we do this together, meaning the more that dads step up and help each other grow, the bigger that community gets, the bigger that our relationship gets with our kids, and we can completely change the dynamic of the father and child relationship just through conversations like this, helping other dads out there. And yes, my Dad Up title is just for that reason. I came from a man up level of growing up with my dad and in the military. I had to man up a lot. And that's where the title came up, is like, I want to man up. I want to raise my standards of being a man. And now I need to raise my standards of being a dad. So how do I do that? I need to dad up.
Dad up.
That's great.
I love it. Daduptribe.com. Go check them out, guys. Thank you, Brian.
8 years ago, we developed and launched the best bed sheets ever. Since then, you've all enjoyed the best sleep of your life. And to thank you all for your support, we're bringing you our bed sheets for the lowest price in MyPillow history. Get our seasonal flannel sheets for 50% off. They're nearly sold out, so get yours today before they're gone. Check out our new Percale line. Queen size only $39.98. King size only $49.98. And our famous Giza Dream bed sheets, queen size originally $139.96. Wait on it. Now only $59.98. King's just $10 more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get huge discounts on all MyPillow bed sheets. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free. We have very low quantities at these prices, so order now.
Andrew, our favorite part of the show. Are you ready, my man?
Oh, I am ready. It's been a great day, and it's about to get even better because we're about to do some reactions.
We're going to do some reactions to stuff that you guys have sent us that we've been accumulating throughout the week of things that you think are Alpha Dad worthy, Alpha Dad reactions, Alpha Dad thoughts. You want to get the thoughts of the Alpha Dads, and we are here for it, and we are all about that life. Let's go with reaction number one. Oh, I'm not on the screen. Yep,
sorry, that was set up from last week. Give me one second.
We can just do the swoosh. And
you are. All right, and start from the beginning.
Beautiful elbow. Wait, cover. Hey, let's go. That was sick.
I love that. That's awesome. What do you think of that, Andrew?
Yeah, that's great. I'm super pumped to interview this guy, actually. So we've got his interview coming up here really quick. And
a little sneak peek to the Alpha Dad audience here. A little sneak peek coming
that's
up
right.
soon.
He's coming up soon. No, and I saw him on Instagram and I'm like, oh, this guy's so cool. He's there with his son, training with his son. So he's a professional fighter. And he also is training his son. Like, it's something that I hope to do at some point in the future, because any type of fighting is really just a good skill to have. And it's great fitness. So if you can incorporate that with family, then that's perfection. That's so good. I'm excited.
I was listening to a podcast recently by a bunch of cool guys, and they were talking about the importance of your son seeing you in a different environment, you know, like whatever typical environment would be normal for like families or women present. And not that women can't fight. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, whatever that natural environment would be, it's good for your sons to see you in an inverse environment. Something they're like, whoa, I've never seen dad do this. Like, if your son can watch you hunt, if your son can watch you fight, if your son can watch you do manly things and then be part of that with you, I think it's a good thing. And, you know, as a father of now two sons, and my son loves to wrestle. He kind of gets his scrunchy nose thing when he's like, you know,
it's
so does
Lincoln,
like,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, let's go, dude. Let's go. You know, start messing with them
pillow
and throwing
fight.
Them on the
we
bed.
We do big pillow fights and throwing them all over the couch. Oh yeah, it's so fun. Roughhousing.
It's super good. But to actually have that skill that you could pass on to your son, I think that's really valuable. So learning combatives and then passing that on with your son, working with your son, I think that's really cool. Number two.
What are you doing?
You asked me to slow down on my spendings.
But you're still taking my wallet.
You didn't say that.
My wallet.
There you go.
Oh, so that's funny.
If you're listening to that only and you're like, wait, what made that funny? She was walking really slowly towards his wallet grabbed the wallet. She said, slow down on your spending. What are your thoughts on that, Andrew? You're big into finances. You and your wife go over the spreadsheets. You guys know your numbers. How does that work, slowing down on the spending?
Well, thankfully, my wife's not the one who is a big spender. If anything, I'm the one that's a big spender, so I'm taming myself down. So it's kind of like a reverse dynamics there. I enjoy purchasing. You can see him back here. My screen's reversed. You can see him back here. Pro Patriot toys back there. That's
Second
a big
Amendment,
thing
bro.
For me. Second Amendment. That's right. And so that's a big thing for me. I've got a lot of other hobbies. So for me, it's more like the flip side of it. But no, it's always good to have communication and to be able to be on the same page with your spouse. I think that's super important. Obviously, they had communication.
Yes,
it was kind of a prerequisite of the clip here. They communicated. But I don't know how well they communicated because where that clip went. That's pretty funny.
You know, on the Second Amendment piece there, question for you. You know, we have the 7 F's and we're going through them each week. We're kind of figuring this stuff out. Does firearms count underneath the fun, or is it like kind of a secret 8th F? Is it like a hidden 8th F?
It might be
like
a secret 8th F. It's kind of a fun and financial goal. So maybe it does need to be in its own little separate F8 goal.
I've actually heard somebody try to really convince me at one point that like, hey, this is a great like investment piece. Like, hey, this is, you know, like of all the things, like if the dollar's going down and fights inflation, you know, guns are good investments. I was like, hey, whatever you need to tell yourself, man, I don't know where that's going to fit on the accountant spreadsheet.
ammunition, investment.
Yes.
Can I buy that in my IRA? Can I buy a massive amount, like a self-directed IRA with ammunition? Is that possible? Can I do that?
What is this 9mm on your investment portfolio?
556. What is that? Oh, that's a mutual fund.
Mutual fund. Yes. Very good mutual fund.
Mutually beneficial. Yeah.
Too funny. All right. What's this third one we got?
That's what you were talking about. It's number two. Absolutely.
That's what you and I were talking about earlier. You know, you like it, like as a dad to a son, like there's, you know, that you got to do it. You got to do the body slam every now and then. It's got to happen.
You can't let them know what's coming next. You don't know if it's going to be a flip behind or if it's going to be a flip forward or what, if it's going to be a throw them in the air. You don't know. You got to keep them on edge.
I feel like one of my jobs, like my wife is she's an amazing mom. You've seen my wife in person. You've actually seen her parent. She's a very kind parent, very understanding parent. you know, doesn't really mess with the kids, doesn't really joke with them. I feel like my role in life is to shake things up a little bit. Like I come in every now and then. They don't know what's coming. Like sometimes I'm going to throw something at them. They're like, hey, you know, we got dessert for everybody tonight. I'm like, no, we don't. And they're like, what? And I'll, you know, I like to throw things out every now and then just to shake it up. They don't know what's coming. And I'm like,
hey, that's right. I hid the ice cream. You have to find it before it melts. Yeah. Go.
And go. My daughter started this new phrase though. She's like, you're teasing me. Like whatever. She's not sure. She kind of looks at me and she's like, you're teasing me. I'm like, I am teasing you. Good job. You know, I'm like, you don't know what's coming at you. You gotta guess it. But yeah, absolutely. Body slamming your kids. My wife sent me an article recently on the importance of dads roughhousing with their kids. And yeah. I think it's something that can go away sometimes. Like, I'm like, you like as a son, as a man, and you know, daughters too, I think you need that roughhouse time, that playing mm-hmm. time, that, you know, the pillow fight time and the pushing them to the edge. I think it's important.
That's right. Love it. No, it really is. I think it builds up character. It just builds up endurance. It's a good fitness thing. I think it's great. I love it.
Speaking of building up endurance, building up strength, we're also trying to build up our YouTube account. So please go to Alpha Dad Show on YouTube. Like that transition? That was a good little transition.
That's good. I mean, that was like 9.5 out of 10. That's good.
There's that subscribe button right there. Make sure you hit it so you get notified every time the Alpha Dad shows come out and we get new videos posted up there. Be sure to subscribe. Share this video with your friends. Share this video with some other Alpha Dads. Tell them, I think you're an Alpha Dad and you deserve some good content coming your way. Be sure and send this to them. And then also follow us on social media. Our favorite place to do that is our Instagram account. You can find this Alpha Dad Show. Always dropping truth bombs, always dropping good information. We got reels coming out every day, all over the place. So go follow us on Alpha Dad Show on Instagram and support another Alpha Dad. And that is Mike Lindell at MyPillow.com.
Lindell.
We are just
look
now
at that,
past
free shipping.
Free shipping. We are now past Mother's Day. And, you know, now it is time for our big promotion. Are you ready for this, Andrew? Are you ready for the big promotion?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, now it is time for Father's Day, and as Alpha Dads,
this is the. I know that was coming next. I'm surprised.
As dads here, you know, we got to promote the dads. Got to promote the dads, that's and right. Make sure you get your dad something comfy, something awesome, and use promo code Dad while you do it. I feel like that's just a double whammy. You get to get your dad something awesome. Use promo code Dad and support a couple great dads. Support a couple Alpha Dads that's here. Right. Use promo code DAD, D-A-D, get him some slippers, get him some awesome stuff coming into Father's Day. And
as a dad, and just as somebody who's experienced the slippers, I would highly recommend the slippers. I know we've talked about it in the past, but they are durable. They're not like slippers that you would just go buy from the grocery store, like your local supermarket. Like they are like, they're shoes that are like, you could wear them out. I don't necessarily recommend it. I mean, you could, you'd have to find something to pair it with, maybe some pant that would, I don't know, man, but you could wear them out if you wanted to.
They could pull them off with that. I think those look like those Yeezy slippers, like those
those Yeezy slides. They do.
You could have fake Yeezy slides, but actually along the way, only is that $9.50? Oh my gosh. For less than a $10 bill, you can get your own fake Yeezy slides from MyPillow.com.
You can support an Alpha Dad while you're doing it.
And support some Alpha Dads. Man, we appreciate you guys so much. Andrew, give us a last hip hip hoorah. What's the last message of the week to the fellow Alpha Dads out there?
Yes, no, we appreciate you guys watching. Absolutely do. Again, like Colton said, please go check us out on Instagram and on YouTube. We're posting a ton of content over there. So if you're looking for more great content, go check us out there. And we look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Peace out.